Welcome to the Riverwood Chapel Podcast. We're so excited you're here. Please check out our other content and video uploads at riverwoodchapel.org. Thank you.
Good morning, Riverwood. What an incredible Sunday to be here. In this past week, I was doing some research. I want to bring you the results of my research. They go something like this. The reading of books is in steep decline in our country. Anybody surprised by that? Nobody's surprised. All right, that's good. And so I was asking the internet, I was like, why is this happening? Like, why is there a steep decline in the number of books that people read per year? And as I was typing it in and hitting enter, do you know what the internet said? The internet. Fascinating. Me, it was saying. Now, added to the internet, our fast-paced lives, everything that we like to hear is in nice, concise sound bits, the incredible Northeast Ohio weather. I mean, how could you ever go inside and read a book? That's a joke. Well, who has the time to snuggle up to the fireplace to read books? So here's the answer to how many books people read per year. The average, which is, again, coming down, 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 the average American reads 12 books a year, one per month. And I don't know if you're helping to raise that or you're lowering that. So now that we are in the month of May, you should be on your fifth book of the year. There's somebody on our staff, she's on her 45th book of the year. She's helping raise that average. I'm feeling the pressure. This weekend I was pulling out Curious George, and if you give a mouse a cookie, who likes that one? That was a great book, yeah, all right. But culturally, we have our relationship to reading and to books is in decline, but that's not the question we're going to look at today. My question is much different. What is your relationship and connection to this book? To this book. This is the Bible. What is your relationship and connection to this book? And maybe you grew up in a tradition where it was like, we don't read that. Like, those are for, like, other people, holy people, people who have greater understanding than me, and so we just kind of have one, and it sits almost on a coffee table. It's kind of a decoration piece. Or maybe your relationship to this book is, I have no idea what's going on here, and it's confusing and difficult, and so your relationship is more kind of like, I don't know what to do with it. Maybe your relationship is more of a, well, I have my favorite verses. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and I got that one even on the bumper sticker of my car. And this becomes more of a nice sayings, some nice self-help. Or maybe you're someone who just likes to read and historical facts, like, yeah, this is interesting history. I don't know what your relationship, your connection is to this book. But the next question is, what should it be? That's what we're really going to examine. Like, what does this book really say about itself? And what should our connection be to this book called the Bible, the Scriptures? That's what we're going to look at this morning. I'm glad you're here. We're going to have a really important conversation about the Word of God from the Word of God. I know it sounds odd, but we're going to have a sermon about the Word of God that comes from the Word of God, and it's going to tell us something. It's going to challenge us in where we are in our relationship to this book. There's something very stunning that you're going to have to wrestle with in the text this morning. We're walking through the book of Jeremiah together as a church. We walk through books of the Bible. We want to hear from God. What is he saying to us? And we are now in the 36th chapter of Jeremiah, coming down the home stretch. At the very end of May, we will hit the finish line. And in the summer, we're going to take an examination of Psalm 119, all 180-some verses all summer. It's going to be wonderful. I'm looking forward to it. But until then, let's open up the 36th chapter of Jeremiah. We have orange journals. If you're into journaling and asking questions, I'm looking at the journals in the back there. If you want one, please take one with you. The words will be on the front screen, and But let's look and see. There's maybe, hopefully, a turning moment for you in the text. That's what Jeremiah has been all about. Like, it's not too late. Turn, turn, turn. And maybe today is going to be a moment where you are going to turn in a different direction. Be open to that. In the next 27 minutes, be open that the Lord might be asking you to change and be challenged in some way, especially as it relates to his word. All right, so the context of what we're going to read is in the 36th chapter. I will read, and then we'll look at it together. God's word says this. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Take a scroll and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel and Judah and all the nations from the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah until today. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the disaster that I intend to do to them, so that every one may turn from his evil way and that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. That's a fascinating verse. We'll look at that later. Verse 4, then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote on a scroll at the dictation of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord that he had spoken to him. All right, let's catch up on our timeline. The timeline here, this is real people, real history we're reading. Jehoiakim, now we're coming down the home stretch, and what I've been saying from week to week is that Jeremiah isn't necessarily chronologically in order, so we're kind of going back and forth at different moments, and in this moment, we're going back to the fourth year of Jehoiakim, and he is the one who is the king at the time in the southern kingdom. It's all coming to an end soon, but until then, God says to Jeremiah, hey, I want you to do something really unique here. I want you to write down all of the words that I have been speaking to you since the time of Josiah until now. Now, it's going back to the reign of Josiah until now. He's talking about 20-some years. Like, I want you to write down what I've spoken to you for the last 20 years. Some of us can't even remember what we had for dinner last night. How is this going to happen? How is this even possible? No worries. There is someone who is greater who has this whole thing under his control. What we believe as a church, what we believe about the Bible is what it says about itself. And there's a verse in the New Testament that says this, that we can rest easy in. And it says this, that all Scripture is breathed out by God. That takes a lot of pressure off right there. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching and for reproof, for correction, for training, righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, there's an interesting word here that's called the Scripture. What does that mean, the Scripture? Well, there's a longer conversation, but I want to condense it down for you, that the Scripture is this idea of the New Testament and the Old Testament. Like, when we get into the New Testament, we have writers like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Apostle Paul. All of them wrote under the inspiration of God to write down the words that God wanted into these books. All right, so that is Scripture, New Testament. But we also have Old Testament Scripture, people like Moses and David. And they sometimes wrote poetry. Sometimes they wrote history. And sometimes it was the prophets that are recorded. And even moments where we have Jeremiah hearing the Word of God being dictated word for word. Now, that didn't always happen in the Bible, but sometimes it did. And this is one of those unique moments that is now coming under the authority of this thing called Scripture. All right, so that is Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, and there's a long story, a really interesting story of how we got the 66 books that we carry around. If you want to know more about that, we can talk later. But here's the next question I've been kind of wondering about is this. Well, what's the point of these 66 books? Books that we have, this thing called Scripture, from Old Testament to New Testament. Is it just about knowing more, or is it about just having some quick one-liners? Is it about self-help? Like, what is the real point? Like, why do we have this book? And this is the part that might surprise you, but I need to tell you this, that the Bible primarily is not about you. It's not about you. It's about God. And it's about his son, Jesus Christ. There's a really interesting verse that Jesus has recorded in the Gospel of John that makes this crystal clear. In the Gospel of John, chapter 5, notice what Jesus says, because they were wondering about all of these things of the scriptures, the Old Testament, and notice what Jesus says. He says, "You search the scriptures," important word, Old Testament, that's all they had, but they would eventually have a New Testament as well. But Old Testament, "You search the scriptures," Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all the prophets, historical works. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And then he says this is hugely controversial at the moment. "And it is they," the scriptures, "that bear witness about me," him. Wait a second. Let's let this sink in a little bit. The scriptures, the Old Testament and the New Testament, the point is it tells the story of Jesus Christ. That is the point. All of the Old Testament was pointing towards, from the start of Genesis, the mission of God was pointing forward to that moment where the righteous branch that Jeremiah speaks of, that moment when the law would be written on people's hearts. It's coming. It's coming. Be patient. It's coming. And then it did. And then the New Testament was looking back to a test, like, it happened. It happened. And it did. The scriptures, the point of the scriptures is to tell the true story of God and his son, Jesus Christ. That is the point. And in the midst of that story, it includes knowing more. It includes helping people. It includes helping us with our greatest problem. Your greatest problem is that you have sin dominating you in your heart, and you need an answer to that. The Bible is going to help you, and God is the one who is going to pave the way for that. And so he is the centerpiece of the scriptures. They are all about him and entering into a relationship with him. See, that's why I'm asking the question, like, what is our relationship to this book? Because this book speaks about a relationship with God. So our relationship to this book will help us grow in our relationship with him. I want you to see that. That is really important. That this isn't just a nice, like, I got my one verse and I'm good to go. This is a relationship starter, a relationship that keeps going on. This book, we enter into a relationship, and it tells us the one in whom we can know better, God and his son, Jesus Christ. That is the point of the scriptures. And even the scriptures of Jeremiah, even that scroll that was dictated on, tells that story. Notice what it said in verse 3. I'm going to read it again, but notice what it said. It said that this is what it's meant to do, this scroll, that it was meant to be that the house of Judah will hear all the disaster that I intend to do to them, so that everyone may turn from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. That was the real hope of dictating this scroll, that people would read it, they would see the disaster that is coming, and they would turn to the one who can help them. And their greatest problem wasn't Babylon. Their greatest problem was sin, iniquity. That's exactly what this scroll was intended to do. And that's still what the scriptures are intending to do, to point us to the disaster that is coming to every single one of us spiritually, to turn to the one who can help us, the righteous one. He is the one. And so, do you know this about the scriptures? I want to pause just for a short moment. Do you know that this is the point of the scriptures? And do you not just know the scriptures? Do you know the one in whom the scriptures are about? As a church, we are very passionate about that, that you enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, the one who can help you, that the scriptures are all about. And if you want to know more about that, we would love to come alongside and point you into that direction, but that is our heart, the foundation of what we do, and even what we're going to celebrate here in a few minutes, this communion table, tells that story from Genesis to Revelation about the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. All right, so let's continue on. We see what the scriptures are, Old Testament, New Testament, what the purpose is of it. And now we're going to read some encounters that people are going to have with the scriptures in Jeremiah. There's going to be a great encounter and a not-so-great encounter. I want you to kind of see both of them. Let's pick up in verse 14 in chapter 36. Encounter number one. Then all the officials sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, son of Shelemiah, son of Cushi, to say to Baruch, remember he's the one that wrote down from dictation, take in your hand the scroll that you read in the hearing of the people and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the scroll in his hand and came to them, and they said to him, sit down and read it. So Baruch read it to them, and when they heard all the words, they turned one to another in fear, and they said to Baruch, we must report all these words to the king. Let's pause there. So what happened right before this is they took the scroll and read it to the people of the temple, and they were really excited. Like, wow, we are hearing from Yahweh from this scroll. I mean, he's calling us to turn our ways. Yes, this is incredible. Now, what we read here, they read this to the officials in the temple area, the people who were in charge, the higher-ups, many of them recorded in other parts of the scripture. And the same reaction happened. And there's a key word here that when they encountered the word of God, they had, there it is right there in verse 16. This is really important. They had fear. There was something that they feared. Why would they fear? Well, fear in the scriptures has multiple kind of layers to it. At the very beginning layer, there was fear like, oh my goodness, Babylon's going to come and take over? You got to be kidding me. And they were scared about that power. But then what they would also have heard in the scroll is that there is one who's even greater than Babylon. Do you fear him? Do you have reverence and awe for Yahweh, who actually uses Babylon for his own purposes? I mean, that's how powerful he is. Do you have a relationship with him? There is fear. And so when they saw their lives interacting with that scroll, there was something that was wrenching at their hearts. Like, yes, this is something we need to hear. And so there was some great, great excitement, fear within the scriptures. Now, as a side note, I want to show you something that Jehoiakim is the king we're looking at, but his father was Josiah, further before, one generation before, and I want you to see how he reacted, because he had a moment too when the scriptures came and encountered him as a king. Notice this is from 2 Kings. This is a recorded piece of history from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 22. It says, then Shaphan, the secretary, told the king, this is King Josiah, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king, Josiah, and when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. Now, culturally, the tearing of clothes meant, well, I am encountering something that is deeply moving, and whether it was some kind of sorrow, some kind of remorse, some kind of reverence, there was something, and to show the sign that you were moved, you would rip and tear your clothes, of which I am not going to do right here. But notice in the text that there was this outer thing that was happening that showed of something deeper. an inner work was happening in the heart of Josiah, and he wanted to show. We have different moments culturally where we show that. We have an outer showing of something that's deeper in our heart. That moment you buy flowers for your wife, you write a card of encouragement to someone, that's that outer display of something deeper that you feel for someone, you want to communicate to them. One of the greatest examples, again, what we're going to do here in a few minutes, an outer display of something that happened deep inside, the communion table is all about that. So that's what was happening to Josiah. All right, so far this is good news. The people had the reading of the scroll, and now again another reading of the scroll with the officials. Everything's going great. And you know what they said at the very end? We got to take this to Jehoiakim and his people, because I am guessing they too are going to really embrace, fear the Lord. I'm guessing there's going to be some ripping of clothes even. This is going to be wonderful. Well, let's see exactly how Jehoiakim is going to react to this. Jehoiakim, now in verse 20. So they went into the court to the king, having put the scroll in the chamber of Elishama, the secretary, and they reported to all the words to the king. This is now Jehoiakim. Then the king sent Jehudi to get the scroll, and he took it from the chamber of Elishama, the secretary. And Jehudi read it to the king and all the officials who stood beside the king. Verse 22, here it comes. It was the ninth month, and the king was sitting in the winter house, and there was a fire burning in the fire pot before him. As Jehudi read three or four columns, the king would cut them off with a knife and throw them into the fire in the fire pot. What? Until the entire scroll, very rare to have a scroll, by the way, until the entire scroll was consumed in the fire that was in the fire pot. Yet neither the king nor any of his servants who heard all these words was, you see the word, right? Afraid. And in case you missed something about what was going on at a deeper level, guess what else they weren't doing? Nor did they tear their garments. All right, you can picture it. There's an excitement. The people are like, yes, the king will embrace this. It's going to be wonderful. And then all of a sudden you get into the story and you can feel the chilling moment. There's a different feel in the room as the scroll is being read. And it wasn't like there was like one moment of rage where like, hey, give me that thing, and they throw it into the fire. There was something very calculated and cold. Go ahead and read a few columns. Cut it off. Burn. Go ahead and read a few more. Yeah, that's nice. And cut and burn. And until the whole thing was gone. How could this happen? This isn't the outcome that they were anticipating. They were hoping the king would be like, yes, on the timeline, there's still time. We're going to turn to Yahweh. But there was no fear. Yeah, and there was no, in case you didn't see it, there was no ripping of clothes. There was none of that happening. All right, let's stop there, and let's start asking ourselves some deeper questions. The first question I asked at the beginning was, what is your relationship to this book? What is your connection to this book? You see its purpose. You see what it's trying to communicate. What is your connection? And so as bookends, I have like these two kings. And so the first king is your connection and your relationship to this book more like King Jehoiakim? And you're thinking, well, wait a second, Cole. I'm not burning Bibles. Okay. But is there a coldness to God's word? Is there something of distance and almost like, I really don't need it? Maybe you're not tearing it off and throwing it away, but is it really an important piece of your life? Does it make a difference? Is there something that's happening at the level of fear? That's a good word because that stands out in the text. Is there a lack of fear? Maybe that's really at the heart of this conversation. Maybe there's I don't fear the Lord. I don't fear what's going to happen. I have it all figured out. My bank account looks great. I'm getting a great education from Kent State. I have everything in front of me. What do I need this for? See, that's the deception. We are in desperate need by our very definition of our lives. We are at odds with God. We need an answer for our sin and iniquity. And so when we interact with these words, what do they do? Are they penetrating at a deeper level? Is the word of God wrecking you? It's supposed to, because it's about a relationship with a holy God. When we read this, we're reading the pages of our relationship with Jesus Christ and how we will always fall short, yet he will always be faithful. That's the story. And so when we read this, we're reading more and more bad news about us, but great news about the one who offers grace and mercy and love to broken people. What is your connection? Are you more like King Jehoiakim, where it's like, I don't know? Because that's a telling story of something that's happening at a deeper level. If this is just kind of like, Or is your connection on the other bookend, is it more like King Josiah? Is there something about this journey that you are after? You are seeking as the psalmist would say, you are seeking the face of God. I want to seek. I want to know. I want to be on the journey to find the thing that is missing in my life. There's something at the level of heart that I am always on the search for. I can never find in this lifetime, but I'm finding something here. There's a search, a narrative that resonates, that there's something at the level of heart where you're like, yes, I need to know more of that. It's interesting, the Old Testament prophet Joel, he would say this. He would say, it's not about the tearing of the clothes, but it's about the tearing of your heart. Is the word of God tearing at your heart in a good way? Is it causing you to question the bigger things of life? Is it drawing you into those moments of disparity and you're like, I feel like ripping my clothes. I don't know what to do. That's good. The book of Hebrews says that the word of God, it has the ability, like a sword, to actually go to the deep places of bone and marrow, all the way down to the level of soul, and to divide and to figure things out. That's the power of this book that is alive. It has the ability to have those kinds of conversations. And so you hear all of this, and there's a great practical question here. It's like, well, how? How do I foster a fear of the Lord through reading God's word? And I want to help you. There's a couple things I want to say that may be a jump start for you. And the first is this. I understand that reading the Bible can be challenging. But there are wonderful tools that can help you. And here's one of them I point people to. It's one volume. This is the Bible. You're like, man, that's a thick book. It is. But this is a study Bible. It's a wonderful tool. Many of the things you heard me say from this stage came from the footnotes of this book. Because they want to help you. They have the scriptures at top and below is helping you understand the context in words and things that can maybe keep you from like, I can never understand that. I want to, but I never can. A study Bible is a great investment. You can go online to our friend the internet, and for less than $30, you can own one of these. So having the right tool is a great step forward. The other thing I want you to know, another thing that I want you to have is maybe something a little bit of a different understanding, that if you have the right tool, I also want you to have the right kind of time and tool, the right kind of time. And what do I mean by time? Time, I want you to see this book as not something like I'm looking for a quick moment and, all right, I got 5 seconds. I'm gonna like, okay, what is God saying? But that we see this as a long-term relationship. We see this book as a long-term relationship. Now think about a long-term relationship that you have, whether it's a friend you have, your relationship with your parents, maybe a marriage. Every day is not exciting. This is a new reality, this place. But there is a faithfulness over the long haul of journey. I say that because there are going to be days where you're going to read and you're going to be like, I don't know exactly what's going on and nothing's really standing out, but I'm faithfully reading. Okay. May the Lord use just my faithfulness in reading his word today. And that's okay. Because the long trajectory is what I think we're all concerned about. Like, how will that relationship look 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20, 50 years of walking with the Lord and his word? May that be an encouragement to you, that you don't have to like run the marathon tomorrow. And you don't have to find it all in the next 5 seconds, but that you can be someone who can invest a lifetime in walking in this long-term relationship. Get the right tool and have the right amount of time to do that. And maybe you're someone who has never read the Bible. Maybe this is going to be the moment where you're going to say, I'm going to start reading God's word once or twice a week. Maybe for some who read once or twice, you're going to say, I don't know, I really do want to read more. I want to understand more. I want to fall in a deeper love with the Savior. Because every page is going to help you do that, whether you're in the Old Testament or whether you're in the New Testament. May we be challenged and encouraged by our connection. What is our real, real connection to this book? I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to move into a time of an outward sign of something that's going to say a deeper story. Let me pray for us before we do that. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word, and what it says about itself is true, that it's alive, sharper than any two-edged sword, to get to the real critical things that are the most of most importance, and that would be our relationship with you. And so thank you for how you provide words that we can trust, words that have stood the test of time, words that have been dictated on a scroll that eventually got into our Bible and some under the inspiration. But all of it is God-breathed. And what an incredible story it is for humanity. May we fall in love with your Son out of knowing your scriptures.